Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Sweet Discussion here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Sweet talking at you, and I am with All Poetry, one of the largest poetry sites here in the natural universe. And inside of that, you will find Team of Voices, one of the outstanding group of poets that I know. And tonight, we are going to be talking about where have all the cowboys gone, cowboys and all the fun things we call Western. You are listening to, or were listening to, Paula Cole's Where Have All the Cowboys Gone. One of the great things about that song is it was Paula Cole's second hit out of her breakout hit out of her second album. Paula really enjoyed that song. Had a couple of little hits and glitches with that song where she set it out with a rumba fill that a rumba feel that actually never went anywhere. And then she went, hey, I really love this song. I'm going to stick to it. And she redid it with more of a Ringo Starr reprise of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band feel to it. And on the album, it's actually Paul McCartney counts off the last song, 1, 2, 3, 4, drum beat. And actually his drum beat is, that's what he calls that Ringo kind of hit. During the 7 Grammy nominations for this song and the album, Paul Cole got a little upset because the great likes of Hollywood and their lovely rumors, they shadowed away from her accomplishments and the meaning of this song, and focused more on the fact she hadn't shaved her armpits, where this song was about gender roles and all the things that she had put into it, humor, melancholy, and, you know, the things she had done musically with it, her wit and her irony. So this is one of my favorite songs, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, by Paula Cole. So I'm going to welcome all the great people I already have in my studio tonight, and that would be Pretty Bird, the girl behind the scenes who takes care of everything for me. Otherwise, I look like the rambling idiot that I am. Hello, Pretty Bird. How are you?
I don't know if I agree with that statement, but thank you. And I'm doing good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. You and I had a great talk this afternoon about all the crazy things that are going on, so I'm glad you're doing well and you're here to help me tonight, because last couple of weeks you weren't and I was just fumbling, and but, you know, Deb was here and she helped me out, and I miss you so much. And then from the land down under, we have Mr. AP. How are you, sir?
Hi, sweet. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good tonight. I'm very happy with the month of August. It's going to be mooing us around, so I'm happy with that.
Excellent.
And how's the weather? I know it's kind of cold there.
It is. Just starting to inch a little bit towards spring. We had a couple of nice days the last couple of days.
Well, I'm in, like, the blustering heat of summer as it just kind of, we go into August and, you know, fighting those 90, 91, 98 degree days. So I always try to think of you sometimes, and I'm like, AP's in the cold. I can zen through AP's in the cold. Yes, so I try to sometimes zen with you. And then we have the amazing Jay Hatter, my favorite rhymer, and my pal in the wonderful world of, oh, good Lord, I almost said wonderful world of Bob. That's AP. Yeah, that's in my Wonderland world, is my Jay Hatter. How are you tonight, Mr. Hatter?
I'm just fine. I was happy to pig in a slop.
Oh, you're happier than a pig in a slop. All right. Well, that fits what we're doing. And then, of course, the great man who feels his way through everything, Mr. McIntore. How are you, darling?
Since I shaved my armpits, I didn't shave my armpits, right?
Oh, well. Not at all. You did not shave your armpits. Well, AP is, you know, the ruler of the world, so we have got to get him up and out and ready to read poetry. So that is where we're going to go first, to AP's poems. So I'm ready for that. AP, we're going to get you on the board. We're going to run you right through
it.
Yep. So.
Yep. Well, here it goes, please.
Wait.
Down the
I don't have you on the board yet.
It's on there.
You should.
Oh, is it? Okay,
yeah,
well, then I don't have you on my board. Okay, now there's there. I got
it.
Oh,
that's different.
Okay, there you are. There we go.
There we go.
All right.
We're mosey on down the creek bed, and it goes a little bit like this. A shallow creek meanders down a lonely valley lead. The sunrise shaded red from the weathered rocks below. The moseying path curls, then bends inside onto reeds. Off swamps that cool, then muddy, a once gentle flow. So from distantly there is a surge upon these waters, a fresh sound of man's voice and of hooves at pace. In a flash, a mad spell of horses here in quarters. There are two beasts galloping madly on creek's face. Withered hands bunched tightly, curled to an old rope, while his body arched across from the fallow's edge. Forced below in a rhythm, for he knew its steady load, its opportunity narrowing, is soon on a craggy ledge. A mighty bay, Brumby racing full tilt up the rocky valley. His flanks were gleaming with sweat from the charge. Head held high as his legs propelled by speed to tally. Over the bushes, reeds and flintstones did he barge. Out back towards Crown Hills did both speed on paths. Till curled rope finally captured that gallant foam mane. He flowed to a trot on the setting sun of shadows cast. Back towards the homestead. With his stallion in train. End poem.
Wow, it'd be just gorgeous. I love this. There's so much detail, and there's such beautiful rhyme, and there's so much of that spirit of the West in here. Her, you know, his flanks were gleaming with sweat from the charge, head held high as his legs propelled by speed to tally. Over the bushes, reeds and flintstones did he barge. And then I love, he slowed to a trot on the settling sun of shadows cast back towards the homestead with new stallion to train. It's so much wild Mustangs, you know, thought process in my head. And, you know, they go out and they do what they need to do. And, you know, it's just so beautiful, just the whole scenery you paint and all of that. And your rhyme scheme reminds me of someone, Banjo, who I constantly fought and missed and fought and missed. So if this was ever in a contest, I might even say it wasn't you. But now that you've read it on this show, I might know. But I love the story. I love the detail. I love the whole wildness of this. It's very, very good. I keep seeing, like, there are two beasts galloping madly on Creek Space. There's so many great lines in here. Glad Deb's not here. She'd yell at me for taking them all. But I will turn this over to Pretty Bird, fabulously done. And, of course, only an hour ago, because that's the way you are. Brilliant. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on this?
Oh, I love it. I do. It absolutely sets the mood and takes you right into that place, like you're watching it in a film. I love that third stanza especially, where he's arched over the saddle and he's trying to crap to rope it, you know, but before it is unreachable, and he's got that little narrow window of when you can snatch him up. And I don't know how many of y'all have been privileged enough to see wild horses. There's a whole giant mess of them on this little island called Vieques outside of Puerto Rico, where my mom has a house. And So I've seen them just, you know, sit there with these ropes and grab them. It's not as eloquent as your poem by any means, but it is a sight to see. And when they're not, you know, being chased to be ridden, they will stand 5 feet away from you eating mangoes off a tree. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. They're Pasadena horses, but it's almost like you shouldn't be there. It almost feels illegal, you know, like you're disturbing them. And you just captured this and all of its elegant action so well. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Pretty good.
You're welcome.
And Mr. Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, it correctly describes the undertaking of catching a stallion and breaking it for your own. That's a huge undertaking. That's a huge job. We see these westerns where all these horses are lined up and they're just all tame and getting along. I'll tell you what, those horses back in the day were half wild. You didn't walk behind them, they're intelligent enough to be a dangerous animal. I think you did very well with the scribing. How to give it?
Thank you.
How they acquired their horses? You know, you see one in the wild Mustangs. Yeah, went roped it and had to break it. I don't even know how long that takes to break a horse. Probably each one is different.
Yeah.
I'm sure it depends on the horse's attitude.
Yeah.
Yes, some.
And Rocky, what are your thoughts?
Oh, AP, I really enjoyed this very much. You focused on the idea more than any kind of location or anything. So this could be taking place in Australia or Colorado or anywhere. So I thought that was one of the beautiful, most beautiful things about it, because you're talking about the experience more than anything. You know, I would almost think you've got a pair of chaps hanging in your thing next to a closet next to the last two. It was really lovely. You know, the imagery that you bring into it, the idea of the horses and the galloping. You know, that's kind of a iconic word when you talk about a horse. You know, at first I was thinking about cows, and you said gallop. I'm like, oh yeah, sorry, wrong animal. cows don't gallop, I don't think. But yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of beauty in it, and it also gave me flashbacks of the Rolling Stones song Wild Horses too. Loved it.
No, thanks for that. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought it was actually gorgeous myself. You blew me away with the very first poem. Thank you, AP. I don't know if you have time to stick around, or if you got to go, or you're running, whatever it may be.
I am going to disappear this week, so I've lost a couple of days for being unwell in the start of the week, and still catching up, so thank you for putting me on.
All right.
I will talk in the next day or two.
All right. Talk to you soon, darling.
Okie doke. Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye.
Talk soon. Okay. Bye.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
Wow. Okay, so now, you know, hey, let's see what we got to do for that. Okay, let's see. Where am I at? Talk radio. Okay, did that. Checking off my list. Did that. Talked about that. So fun. I'm such good at radio, aren't I? I'm so good. Such good at radio. All right. I have to get back to where I'm at. Okay, Linda just added to that. Blog Talk Radio coming on. All right, so I think, since my favorite people are here and I don't have to worry about it, I'm going to throw up, why don't we throw up my cowboy wear one, because that's an old one, and I'll just read it to you guys and be done with it.
Which one is that one?
Cattle
Ranch? Did you put it up?
Yeah, Cattle Ranch Winner.
Okay,
yeah. So we'll do that one real quick. It's one of my old favorites. So I changed the picture on it because I loved this picture. Oh, my God, it was so good. So this is reds and gold to race green to tell the tale of winter. Nightfall lowers its curtain soon, and the cock crows early. All creatures of the forest slow as winter snow massacres the daily journey of movement into a crawl. Coal-burning stove huffs and puffs, flames warm, frozen toes, pop the corn, warms milk for babies and kittens. Dog muzzles sneak under wool knitted blankets to toast feet and paws. Horses neigh in the bitter cold. They settle in the warmth of hay. Cabin sings a winter song. Wind whistles through the cracks of shifty old oaks, and wood crackles and pops in the fireplace. Whiskey warmth in cut glasses envelopes the body's heat. Ham and hen lay together for a hearty meal against the winter strife, as brothers snuggle into bed, sleeping till the morning night. Under the glow of a yellow rose moon, or in the dawn of a cherry red sun, a calf makes haste from his mother's womb. First eggs, bacon, and coffee, then boots, hats, and gloves. Sun up, time to round up the horses and grab their gear. snow blizzards cannot work, cannot stop work on a cattle ranch. Time to greet the babes. End poem.
It's like a cowboy bedtime story. It's just so soothing. From the colors to that, I mean, it really is. The way you read this, the tone of your voice is very soft and mellow. And then you've got, you know, the blankets of snow, the cozy, warm tootsies, and it's really quite vibrant in how you set that mood from the warmth of the whiskey, and I mean, to the snuggling brothers in bed falling asleep, and you know, right down to the birthing of a calf. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's like a snapshot of, you know, life on the ranch, and it's really quite beautiful. And it almost makes it a little bit chilly reading it, because, you know, it puts you right in the heart of winter. And what a thing to be able to transport somebody that way. So that's just absolutely stunning. So, Rackham Tour, you're very welcome. What are your thoughts on this winter evening?
You definitely don't steer us wrong. There's you know, a lot of reminder that you know, as beautiful as it is, there's a lot of work involved doing on the ranch, and you know, you bring all of that out, but you bring the hominess of it, that, you know, the way that people made a life of it, you know, it's not just that work, you know, it's centered around home life, so there's the breakfast and together and being together as well. So you've got all of that piled in there at the same time, the work and everything else, but there's a sense of camaraderie and togetherness also, you know, so the work doesn't feel like work. It just feels like, you know, another day on the ranch. And, you know, you bring out the beauty of that in this. It was lovely. Adopt me.
And Heather, what are your thoughts? Hatter.
Oh,
okay, yeah.
Hatter.
I love the way you put in the how they ate. I spent a lot of time with my youth and my uncle went aunt's farm ranch, and one thing you did, you ate very well. Whiskey warmth and cut glasses, envelope body heat, ham and hen made together for a hearty meal. First eggs, bacon, and coffee. You know, meals were celebrated on the farm. It was more of a, well, instead of just a meal, it was especially when people were around. And there's constant work. The ranching is just as hard as the farming, but the ranching was a lot more fun. You got to ride the horses and move the cattle, but it's very good. Sweet. I love that picture too. I think that's the I think that calf's name is Norman.
Thank you. You named my calf. I like that. Oh,
well,
that's excellent.
You remember Billy Crystal and Jack Palance and what was the name of the movie?
Three Flickers.
Would be, yeah, City Slickers. Yeah, the calf's name was Norman.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Okay. All right, so. Oh, that's why I'm going, never mind. I keep losing my place. Now I know why. Never mind. Well, things happen. I was like, my show was right at the top, so I kept going to the top, and it's not my show, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Because it's not my show anymore. Duh.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm like, why do we keep going to Linda? What the hell? What am I doing wrong? Because it's Linda's show up there now. Okay, never mind. Hatter, are you ready to read?
Sure. You know,
all
that,
right.
In that picture that you have, Sweet, That horse, you always depend on the horse knows its way home. He's just trying to stay warm, calf warm. That horse knows its way home. Yeah. Cool. All right. Mine is the best part of a cowboy dream. Because I guess today I rose with a dog at my side and the smell of manure burning my eyes. Cowboy hat and boots to wear under my jeans were long underwear. Miles of grass filled my view, a herd of cattle 100 times 2 saddled the horse and, that had no name through the creeks that filled with the purple rain. I rode the fence with barbs of wire. I wasn't long before I was tired. Days of cows and songs to sing, I thought it might be a cowboy dream. Later I'll be in my bed with sounds of the morning mooing inside my head. The best part of cowboy dream is the memories I have of the cowgirl gene.
Yes, very good. Yes, most memories of cowboys have is the idea of a cowgirl in jeans, yes. Oh, God knows I do like cowboy butts. Those jeans just have a way of, I don't know if it's actually the way they sit on the horse that forms that, or if it's natural and they're born that way because fathers, I don't know if it's DNA, you know, evolution thing or what, but cowboys, I don't know. There's something about it. Maybe it's formed because they're on horses so early in their lives. I'm not sure. Anybody else have a theory on that?
You know, the fairs were the best thing. We would haul the livestock for the FFA and the 4-H members to the fair in the county fair, and there was nothing more sexy than those white shirts that the girls would wear when they're riding the horses and their tight jeans.
Oh, God.
Eileen looks nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, okay, Pretty Bird. Is there a difference between the American cowboy and the Puerto Rican cowboy?
They don't have cowboys. They have like rancheros and caballeros, and they're not the same animal. I'm so sorry. And while they ride horses all day, there's no guarantee they're going to have no cowboy butts.
Okay. So is one better or worse? Because I don't know what you're talking about, so you have to explain the difference.
American cowboys, in my opinion, are just inherently sexy, and they can have all their teeth knocked out from like a kick in the face. I don't give a crap. They're so sexy, and you know that's just the way that works.
Okay. All right. There you go. Oh, that's funny. Oh, good Lord. You make me laugh, girl. Oh,
no.
God.
One thing about a cowboy, when they get older, they're usually missing one finger. Let's go get the territory.
I feel like asking questions, but I'm afraid.
What?
Like, why are they all missing one finger? Is it the same finger? And where does it get stuck that it comes off?
It's
under the saddle.
Well, not only that, they use sickles and very dangerous things to cut their alfalfa and hay.
They can't tractor that down?
They what?
They can't tractor that down nowadays?
Well, now it's a lot safer. They've got the guides in, and they've got the shut off. You know, something gets stuck in there, they'll shut it off.
I had to swing a stick, I'd lose a leg.
Back in the day, these things are what they had dropped on the side of the tractor, and it was about 10 feet long, about 8 feet long.
The combine.
They had this moving, combines were a whole different story, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts.
I will say about your poem, though, Hatter, that I love the little hints of lyrics with the horse with no name and purple rain in your second verse. It made me smile, absolutely. And, you know, cowboy, cowgirl, I don't care if they ever rode a horse. If there's a nice button jeans, then it's a thing to remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I there's something about there's a big difference between a working cowboy and a rodeo cowboy.
Yeah.
So I have differences between those two, like a working ranch and a working
rodeo.
You know, one of those that. Yeah, because I really love a rodeo cowboy because I think they are just insane, crazy, and they work very hard. But, you know, the ranch cowboy, man, they keep this country moving. I don't think people really respect what the ranch does. And like I said before, I have friends that are ranchers. And let me tell you, this rancher is about 5'6", weighs about 110 pounds. And she's as blonde as you can be. And she goes by the name of Beth. And I've known her for 30 some odd years. And she can pull a calf out of a cow like nobody can. And I just look at her and go, okay, Bethy. And
yeah, that's enough fun.
And she's always been, yeah, but she's this teeny tiny woman that is known to me as Mary Effin Poppins because she's the sweetest, kindest person on the. And she took care of my babies.
It takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of strength to pull a calf.
No kidding. This has been my best friend since I was in my 20s. And, you know, I go visit her and she's pulling calves out of it. And I'm just looking at her like, we used to drink wine together. What are you doing now? But, yeah, she's great.
Yeah,
I really, really enjoy her. Yeah,
one thing is you got to turn the calf around. If you got to pull a calf, you got to turn it around because it's
great. Yeah, you go into those cows. It's crazy. I never plan on pulling out a calf. Just if anybody wants to know, that's not my thing. But man, they are hardworking people.
You know, they always calf in the wintertime. So it's always cold and wet.
They're called the spring calves. Yeah. So if you've never seen it or done it, it's quite the thing. And I have another friend of mine that I've known since I was 14, and she's always done horses, and she's a farrier. And I've sat in barns with her and watched her, you know, birth little horses. And I for someone who doesn't do any of this and just watches people do things, I've done very well. Like, I've never saddled a horse because – Susan's already always done it for me. I've ridden very pretty horses, but I've never once put a buckle on a horse. And I've never, like, done anything with a cow, but I've watched them be born. So I guess I'm very lucky.
I can't say the same. I'm sorry.
I'm like, oh, look at the pretty saddle. And she'll just like, oh, is that the saddle you want? And she buckles it all up for me. I guess I'm very spoiled. There's something wrong with me. How about we listen to Gerald? Gerald was so sweet. He's on vacation, and he sent me a note. He says, I'm on vacation, but I'll see what I can do for you. So he sent me a recording, and I thought that was very sweet. So... got his poem up, and I'm ready to hit play. Here we go.
Advice to the Greenhorn, written and read by Gerald Green. I sat atop my rented horse. The saddle stretched my legs a bit. I'd finished the short riding course, was sore, but felt perfectly fit. That morning they called me a greenhorn. I admit I'm somewhat risky, ignoring his hard looks in scorn on a yearling acting frisky. The pack mule was firmly attached with rope to keep him from straying. I thought they were perfectly matched, in spite of the mule's frequent braying. He warned me about new dangers, the snakes, the spiders, and critters, and shady outlaws and strangers, as well as false gold that glitters. I tipped my hat before leaving. He gave me a sealed envelope and said, "We will not be grieving when you reach the end of your rope." He added, "Don't open this yet, but wait until evening. And do not feel anxious or fret. Consider it as a peace offering." That night, as I sat by the fire, eating my beans and hot biscuits, hoping his words might inspire and not end with, "If this shoe fits," I read the short letter out loud, the brief advice he had written to me. My horse stood majestic and proud, while the mule listened patiently. Don't let the wilderness frustrate, where what's unexpected occurs. When duty calls and time won't wait, never squat when wearing your spurs.
That is some sound advice right there.
That is so good.
Oh, that's great. Oh, God. Okay, so, Gerald, once again, you bring it home to me. And just the way you write this and all of this, it actually brings me back just a moment with my dad. And I just really want to thank you because my dad was a very adventurous person when I was younger. He always wanted to give us adventures. So I'm a very blessed person to have gone to just about every war monument and silly, like ball of string, biggest ball of strings in the United States. Paul Bunyan and Blue as Big Ox and all the silly things also in our country, because my father wanted us to always see these things. Was just that kind of person. And the one time we went horseback riding, and this guy is reading all these instructions on what you have to do and watch for the stakes and watch for this and watch for this, and your horse knows the trail and follow your horse, and you know your horse will do this and your horse will do this and what to wear. So he's reading all these instructions, and you probably just started off like that. He's giving the lectures on what you have to do. And, you know, whatever happens, your horse will know what to do. The horse will stay on the path. The horse will do this. And so we're riding along. And we come kind of up on, like, this steep ridge. And all the horses are following, you know, the path. They're sure-footed. They know what they're doing. They know what to do. And all of a sudden, my dad's horse starts to veer away. And my dad's like, "Hey, what's going on with my horse?" And the guy's like, he'll be fine, don't worry about it. And then my dad's horse keeps going up and up and up, and my dad's like, hey, what's wrong with my horse? And my dad's literally, this horse starts going underneath the trees, and my dad is almost completely laying across the back of this horse as the horse has him underneath the tree, and the branches are scraping across my dad's face because the horse is now afraid of the side of the mountain, and he will not go down this path. And he's crawling up the side of the mountain, getting further and further into the tree line. And so it was just hilarious because my dad is just a nut job. But so my dad is kind of like parallel. Like if the horse slipped, my dad would have gone down the mountain ass first on the horse, because I can't even describe how the horse is standing on it, because he's like vertical and all the other horses are not. And my dad is freaking out. The horse is standing under the trees with his ass toward the bottom of the cliff. And it was just like, no, you're supposed to follow the horse. You're supposed to follow the horse. So this whole thing just reminded me that day of how you're supposed to listen and you know, follow all the rules, because the horse knows what he's doing. But yeah, don't squat with your spurs on. And I just really enjoyed this because it just brought back that whole memory of my dad under a tree with a horse who tried to climb up a mountain because he didn't want to stay on the trail of the mountain. So thank you, Carol. Anyway, back to the regular scheduled program. Freebird, what did you think?
You know, I don't. I love falling into the story of this. I mean, I'm not one to want to be riding horses for hours on end because not for nothing, I have a delicate booty, and it's just not fun. But I absolutely loved all of this. I loved how he's like, you know, all nice and bold. It's a little bit risky, and he can do all this. And I was expecting it to go somewhere else. After, well, with the spiders and the snakes and all this, I was just like, uh-oh, what's going to happen? And it just came at me sideways, and it was just so, so funny with this birth. It just cracked me up. It caught me quite off guard, which is such a nice little twist and surprise. So I really enjoyed that.
And Hatter.
Yeah, you know, this is... I just envy this. I mean, to be able to story tell and keep the rhyme cadence just spot on, there's nobody better. I do agree. I mean, damn, this is probably, I think, one of your best. I really can relate to it. Now, he's talking about an actual experience. So where is he? Like the Grand Canyon, they give you a horse and a mule and mules to pack in. Where do you think that he's at? The Appalachian?
I don't know.
Texas?
I think just having a wherever you want to put him, I think he's not anywhere real.
I think he's real. Because he mentions the mule. He mentions the mule and the dangers and the rules. And sort of, you can tell the sternness of the person teaching him is a safety thing. And the letter
Maybe.
He wrote, the letter he reads at the end, don't squat when wearing your spurs. That's hilarious. Great. Going on a list.
Going on a list. I like the list. All right. Pretty Bird. Why don't you read for me? Why don't you read for me, Pretty Bird?
Who am I reading? Which poem do
you want me to read? Oh, God, if I do this one more time, I'm going to hurt myself.
Am I putting
up? You.
Oh, you want me to read me? I thought you wanted me to read like Angel or Kay or somebody. Okay, hold on a second.
No, I wanted to read you first.
I'm not so fine. Just sitting here waiting for instructions.
I want Pretty Bird to read Pretty Bird.
Follow your horse.
I am on. Wait, did Rack comment on Gerald?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Rack. Rack, please, comment on Gerald.
I don't know Gerald. I'll comment on his poem, though. I like, you know, one of my first, you know, kind of literary experiences that I remember was it was a comment about Shakespeare and the quote unquote the play within the play. So the way he worked out the poem within the poem, that little letter that the guy wrote, you know, and it rhymed, and that's some classic cowboy advice. You know, you may have heard it before, you may not have. It's, you know, that there's a lot of truth to it, which makes it even more funny to me because, you know, you don't think about it. You know, you just, you know, you got to squat. You got to remember, hey, do I have my spurs on? You know, that's a reality. So, you know, that kind of brings you back to reality from the beauty of everything. And, you know, like Hatter mentioned, you know, there was a sternness to the interaction that was going on with, you know, his little adventure. But, you know, he took it as a learning experience. He took it in stride, and it was wonderful.
Yeah. We have Hatter. For what?
Frank was asking if you should bring a hat. I said, we have a Hatter. So.
The very first
Tango and Hatter.
Very first show I had. was about cowboy poetry and how big it is.
Oh, yeah?
I should
do it. I don't
want to
know what you're talking about because it's not Sunday night, but okay.
Oh, that tickled me. I'm good. I'm fine. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to shut up now. Okay, so my poem's up on the board. I am so sorry. Apparently, I'm in the mood. All right, then. So here we go. I'm going to go ahead and read my thing before my mouth gets me in trouble. And this is Ink Blots with a Dash of Moonlight. And it goes like this. That painted horse wore no saddle, his gentle nature hidden by that wild heart, determined, untamed, and yet to be broken. Ink blots stained the paper of his spirit, so much fight in Morse code secrets lost in the whispers of what's unread. Choking that black and white mane, faint teeth one-on-one, shining in the sheer moon. Spooked by shadows, he bucked wildly in spontaneous rhythm with deadly force. That painted horse wore no saddle. He is yet to be broken. It still hangs on the wall, ready, waiting for the next chairman.
Oh, wow.
Nothing like a spooky
horse. Choking that black and white mane. I love this. Choking that black and white mane. Fame, peace, one-on-one, shining and shared moon. Spooked by shadows, buck wildly in spontaneous rhythm with deadly force. That painted horse with worn no saddle, yet he is yet to be broken. It still hangs on the wall ready, waiting for the next shared moon. Wow. Untamed, wild. It has to have that full moon. I really like the mythical spirit of this, and wow, I mean, there, again, so many great lines. Morse codes, lost whispers, lips unread, signing in a shared moon. I love that lace through there, that commonality of that I can't be broken without the shared moon, you know, we're both mythical creatures kind of things. We both have that wild heart. You have that dash of darkness. And I love the title, Ink Blots with a Dash of Moon. Wow. Very well done. Very mysterious, very dark, yet very, I don't know, it's like swimming in dark, swimming in like, I don't know, like the abyss, yet you're not going to drown because you have the pale yellow moon guiding you. Something will break. Beautifully done. Yeah. We are one. What did you think, my darling Rock and Tour?
You mentioned it's not Sunday. So I have to say that it's talking about a horse and not, you know, the metaphor. Because, well, you know, I'm sorry, it's you. I have to read that into your words. And plus, you know, I'm always one for the double entendre anyway, whether it's intentional or otherwise. But where you're concerned, more often than not, it's intentional. So I'll leave it at that. But yeah, I mean, you know. Oh, man. You know, you just have a way of enchanting. You know, you bring in the moonlight and the imagery. The only thing missing is road hard and put away wet. I mean, wow.
Wow. It's not Sunday, so there won't be any of that.
I loved it. I really did.
Yeah. And my darling Hatter?
10-gallon Hatter.
You know, sometimes I saw that picture too, and I was trying, and that's the first picture I tried to write through about. I couldn't figure out which way to go. You did. I love the way what you did though. The best line in it is the first one. That painted horse wore no saddle. That's a beautiful line. Did you mold it around that, or did that just happen?
I did not mold words. They just kind of spew forth and land where they land. But as soon as I saw that picture, it just reminded me of someone. And his horse, and it was a little wistful and a little...
You talk about the spirit of the horse. You know, there are rogue bulls, and there are rogue horses. Some horses you cannot trust. They are smart. Yeah, but if cows were smart as horses, it'd be a lot harder to handle.
If cows were as smart as horses, we wouldn't be eating steak.
Yeah, out there, and a horse, a spooky horse, is a dangerous one, man. You ought to be aware of it. If you've ever been crushed between two horses, it don't feel good.
I almost got
my butt
of the cows.
Crushed by any horse.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I've never been crushed by any horses, nor do I want to be.
Sometimes they don't mean it. Stepping on your foot, that's a lovely thing.
How? Yeah. No, thank you.
And there's a big difference between being cow kicked and horse kicked. You can survive a cow kick. You can survive a cow kick.
Yeah. No, thank you. I don't want to be kicked by any of them. All right. All right, Pretty Bird, I'm going to read my second poem, and then
Pretty
we're going to do Stephen.
Yeah,
my second poem. Go figure. I have a lot of Western poems. And then we're going to do Stephen and Frank. Actually, I think we're going to do Stephen, and then I'll have you read Kay. Okay. So. Look, I put myself up there. Or you put me up there right away. Look at that. Okay. You like this poem anyway. This is one of your favorites, Hatter. I told you I'm all about the West this month. All right. This is the Red Madam of the Western Plains. Atop Colorado's mountain range lies a town without a name. Not a place to call home, just a stop along the road before the search for gold takes your soul. Tracks of horse hoofs lead from bank to the jail. Men joking, swishing, and splitting at the general floor. Spitting at the general floor. The echo cowboy boots stop as the doors swing open at the saloon. Cowboy hat, white or black, check their guns. No bloodshed allowed. Tip the waitress, she serves bottles of whiskey that ain't watered down. Bar stools are dressed with pretty girls, and upstairs are wild whores. When the sun turns, the dust grows, tumbleweeds roll. And the evening wind blows, poker players shout that. The ladies sashay around their necks. The joint sings a ruckus tune. Weathered fingers splash around ivory keys as it strikes the chords of a G. A vision in crimson descends the stairs. A dance in poetry. Fancied by outlaws, sheriffs, preachers, and sinners, they praise her name. The Red Madam of the Western Plains. And poem. Such a great. That's one of the favorite poems I've ever written.
It kind of puts you right in the saloon, doesn't it? With this wonderful,
yes.
Beautiful, you know, legendary almost lady, you know, that for me, there's a marked difference between the way she saunters and the mention of the wild horse. I mean, like it's like night and day, which is kind of fabulous. you know, and you can almost hear that kind of old Western piano music and the shouting of the bets and the clanking of the cups and all of that. It's just, it's right there. Even though you use, except for, you know, Wild Horse, you use fairly delicate verbiage, it's still right there in all of its deliciousness. Very, very vibrant. Excellent storytelling. So, Hatter, what are you
thinking? Hey,
you know, it reminds me how you can romanticize that. Seems like everybody could stand there pointing fingers, but they were all on a first name basis. You know, the men with the girls,
the saloon girls.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And many of the women were actually women who had come out with husbands who either died on the trail, were murdered, were in. I mean, a lot of the women that actually became the saloon girls, yeah, were widows. But I would tell you right now, if I was born in that era, I would definitely be a model. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I would not be this Millie Mouse, you know, the baker, the sewer maker. Well, I don't see that. I would be more of, you know, the entertainer, the, you know, hey, let's make a living doing something fun. I couldn't see myself, you know, let me sew your trousers there, Mr. Cowboy. I just don't see myself doing that.
No, Sweet Pea does the can.
think how hard the women would be.
Yeah. Their lives were miserable. Not that the men's weren't. I mean, the men's, but everybody's life was miserable. Just everybody. So, and it is romanticized. It's so romanticized.
Have you ever watched, remember McCabe and Mrs. Miller?
No, I haven't.
Julie Christie and what's his name? It depicts the town, the makeshift towns in the Northwest, where it was always rainy, muddy, and dirty, and I think it depicts the best of what it really was like.
And rock and tour.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, for whatever reason, I was picturing CP with the garter belt with the Derringer hit in it and doing the can-can. I mean, as delicate as it was, and you know, she didn't go in that direction, but I couldn't help but, you know, put her in that scenario. Although you were wearing the high neck dress with the cameos, there's that.
Yeah.
What was that show that was on HBO about the West? It just kind of put me in that type of movie. You know, it was really good. I mean, I love the poem.
Colored or black and white? Colored or black and white?
It was recent. It took place, you know, they had all kinds of goings on in the background and the opening of the grocery.
Talk about Young Guns?
Deadwood, that was it. Yeah, Deadwood. Yeah. That show was fantastic.
Oh, I love Deadwood.
And this definitely gave me that feel. I could see you working for Bullock or one of them, you know, and then the other one trying to steal you away with the, you know, a better position. It's funny. The guy that came to compete with the sleazy guy that was, you know, the main one in the beginning. He had the woman that came with him that was like, you know, obviously. Well, I shouldn't say obviously, but she was smarter than him and everything. And you know, I think she even ended up being his downfall, if I'm remembering right. You know, that's kind of the nobody's got puts you in.
I think one of the best westerns.
All right, guys, we've got Tombstone. Oh yeah, Tombstone was good. We've got Big Jake by Steven on the board. So,
Big Jake
by Steven 76. Steven 76. Let's get him rolling, Big Jake. A very long poem.
You are Jacob McCandles. Oh, I thought you were dead, Mr. McCandles.
Not hardly.
That's awesome.
Oh, cool. I was looking for it right. Big Jake. Yeah, him and Ruth to Cogburn.
That's great. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are, Mr. Jacob McCandle? Beg pardon. Oh, you're dead. Not hardly. Oh, my God. Okay, I think this is great, Steven. You just kind of, this is the man. This is it. These are best cowboys ever. That was pretty cool. Great cowboy movies.
Yeah.
Big Jake. Rich John Wayne and Richard Boone. if you want to be a cowboy, you want to be John Wayne, as far as I'm concerned. That's the ultimate cowboy.
Brokeback Mountain.
I think it's an excellent way to be a cowboy. Oh yeah.
So hopefully she'll call back in so that her call back is connected. But so I have never seen a kind of picture poem. It is a set for you who can't see it, Rack. I will go ahead and explain it to you. It is like four memes, and it's got the whole conversation with who's talking. So it kind of just kind of plays out for you. And, you know, John Wayne has a John Wayne face with a straight line mouth and like, yeah, not hardly. And it's absolutely hysterical. So I absolutely love this. I mean, it makes you smile. And it is absolutely the essence of John Wayne all the time. It's just fabulous. So I think he captured that really, really well. And it made me chuckle. So I got to love that. So what are your thoughts, of either one of you, on this wonderful little humorous brevity?
Hello?
Hey, she's back.
Hello.
Okay, hello. She
wrote her ass back in here.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, mule.
Sorry about that. I muled my way back. I literally sneezed my way out of the studio. I don't know how I did it. I sneezed and everybody was gone.
Because you're magic.
I guess. Don't sneeze while you're on Blog Talk.
Question is, how long did it take you to know?
I was like, hey, Pretty Bird, what did you think? And it was gone. I'm like, Pretty Bird. And I'm like, oh, hell, nobody's there. So it took me a second or two. Yeah.
So I commented, so it's
these
are used to gather from the gentleman.
Okay, Haddard, what did you think of the interesting, crazy, like, you're not dead, I'm the best cowboy ever?
it's a great movie. I like the way he just pieced together the quotes. I can't remember his name.
Head guy in Dallas.
Oh,
I wouldn't have even known that. I'm so brilliant. That's cool. And Racky Tour, your thoughts?
See, I think you didn't hang up. I think you were just acting out the poem. I'm not dead, I'm back.
I'm not dead.
Even not being able to see the cartoon aspect of it, you know, the humor comes through because, you know, I'm not dead. It's kind of a cowboy thing, and you know, it's got a hint of Monty Python to it, so it appeals to me in multiple layers. But, you know, John Wayne being, you know, the Duke. It's just classic in that sense too. That you know, he's the central character. I liked it.
Yeah. Pretty Bird, are you pleased to read K for me?
Sure, she's already on the board. This is Cow Tipping the Brigade by K. And whole team freaking ain't no amateur to this rodeo. Cows with guns, packing heat with the chickens, brotherhood and arms, playing taps, marching to the battle. Does Guernsey get chocolate milk when squeeze? Don't squeeze too hard. I hear their kicks are vicious. The Chatty Cathy's whisper of the Pie Rouge of Plains is meaning to open a pie stand. Cluck cluck goes the feathers. And Angus Cattle shoots the evils at the absurdity. Shetlands just want to have fun. The Belmont Red is now in flames. Did the White Park stop at Winter Park? Where the full moon, a cow looking like Dexter, snapped and has gone serial. Texas Longhorns and Galloways hinting to be the Beefmaster. Marching to a bloody revolt, it is off to find some herons after the stampede of man. Hitch a ride with some sharp rays, with a cluck and a moo, off into the bloody good night, looking for fresh meat to put on the hooks. Looking then, sporting venom with machetes, pick your poison. The cow done snapped your skeleton head, soon to be a souvenir around his neck. Whatever you do, don't say moo. And
oh my God, this is fabulous. Sorry. I've never read Kay in humor, ever. I think this is one of her best poems ever. Kay, you did very deep for me and very, like, spiritual, and this is freaking hilarious. Cook go the feathers, and he just cow shoots the eagles at the absurdity. Shetland just want to have fun. Dude, this is fabulous. Oh, my God. Oh, I love this. This is great. Hitch a ride with some char braised and a cluck and a moo. We have a bloody night, good night. Looking for a fresh meat to put on the... Whatever you do, don't say moo. No, I really enjoyed this. Oh, my God. Oh. I love the White Park stop at Winter Park, beware the full moon. A cow looking like Dexter snapped and has gone serial. Oh my God, this has got some really great lines. It's funny. It's just brilliant. Oh. Okay. This has got to be like the best humor poem I've read in a very long time. It just cracks me up. It's her picture is just funny as all hell, just because I don't know if you guys know about Buddha, but he has something to do with cows, because I don't know that much about him. But I know somehow it has to do with cows somewhere, somehow. I read about that, but I'm not sure if I'm right, so I don't repeat it. This is great, Kay. I really love it. I thought it had great lines in it. It made me giggle. Very well done. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on the cow poem?
Well, the cows on Snap, which was hysterical. I love that line. I do, because that kind of sums it all up, because he's wearing the skeletons on the necklace, you know? So Beef is not what's for dinner. And so I am absolutely loving this. I'm loving that the cow lost his mind. He's got 8 arms full of machetes, and he's going to town. The Shetlands are over there partying. The things are clucking all over the place. This is a different side of the farm that I have never seen, and it is a bloody mess, and I freaking love it. That's absolutely hysterical. This is fabulous. Fabulous and so vivid. And, you know, I have a thing for darkness and dark humor and bloody whatever. And I love how we eat all the cows, and now the tables have turned.
Yeah, this is great. And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I looked. This is 3 years ago. Remember the comment? Didn't recognize it. The line. I'm wondering if the line "Longhorns and Galloways" hence seem to be the beef fence. If she meant fencing, that's a great image. Those longhorns fencing with their horns on.
Something, yeah, there's them yeah. Using them, fencing.
Yeah, like swords. Because those things are absolutely huge. And then a cluck and a moo and a cluck, and they don't care because I don't give a darn. This thing on?
Yes.
Get along, little doggy.
We're giggling on the inside, but we can't.
Okay.
We still have to be PG-13. Oh my God, this is great.
I would do it.
Oh my God. All right, so we have Frank to play his, and then we have Heavenly Angel, and then Hatter has another one for us. So let's throw Frankie on the board. Franklin.
I'm going to go.
Before
I lose it.
All right. Okay. I've got to play Frank. So here we go with Frank.
Sunset upon the saddle of the wild stallion, with a pair of boots in a sombrero from the ranch of the High Chaparral. I just want to be a cowboy, shoot my Colt 45 like Jesse James, be an outlaw of the Old West, wanted by the sheriff, dead or alive. I want to sing upon the prairies, brand my name like Billy the Kid. Be known from Dodge City to Durango, chased by the Up Brothers and Tombstone. I want to live near a pretty feeling girl, dare to rip a dive and play blackjack, tip my fate with every little rascal, staring into the barrel of my pistol. A heap of bullets to kill in Bandido, a means there to scare off the coyotes, the Comanches and Apaches, because they call me a galloping ghost. I want to tussle with my luck, drink some tequila whiskey, roll up my curly moustache, be a tough and rough hombre. I want to be a cowboy. Smith Mike Willie. tail on high, tired onto the blazing sunset. Yippee-ki-yay. Yippee-ki-yay.
I want to be a cowboy.
In the poop.
Hey, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay. Yippee-ki-yay. I want to rope me a pretty saloon girl, dare to roll the dice or play blackjack, tempt my fate with every little rascal, staring into the barrel of my pistol. All right. There we go. I thought it was really cute. I really did. I want to sing upon the prairies, brand my name like Billy the Kid, be known from Dodge City to Durango, chase the Earp brothers in Tombstone. I thought this was really cute. I thought there was a lot of little history in it. I like how he gave himself the name the Galloping Ghost, and I love how he sings at the end, so I really thought this was, you know, it's kind of historical, it's kind of funny, it's very interesting. I really enjoyed it. Wanted by the sheriff, with a pair of boots and a sombrero. So yeah, you got a lot in here, Frank, and it really made me giggle. And it's really fun, and it's just a lot of fun. Really, really good. Pretty Bird, what did you think?
I thought it was, I'm loving the mean stare to scare off the coyotes, because I absolutely just love the idea of that, because it means they're not going to do a damn thing, but it's just a very cute thing when you think of a child wanting to grow up to be a cowboy, and that's that, and this is, these are all the things that he's going to do. I mean, it's a little hard to hear, so I feel bad for Rack, because he didn't have the words to read along with, but I'm loving that, you know, I want to tussle with my lungs, I want to drink some whiskey, roll up my curly mustache, and be a tough and rough hombre, because, you know, it's all about mustache, because I love that, because, you know, what little kid does not associate, like, a mustache with manliness, you know, so I just love that, with all the little nods to, you know, Billy the Kid and Jesse James and all of that. It is just fabulous. This just, it kind of reminded me of when my brother would play with his friends, because I never played cops and robbers and cowboys and Indians and any of that stuff, but all the neighborhood kids did. And me being older than him, I used to just love watching them go to town. And I was just like, all right, whatever. I hated those little cap guns, though, because he would sneak up behind me and pop that junk in my ear, and then I would chase him and get in trouble if I hit him, so that was not fun for me.
Mm-hmm. But
it took me back.
Yeah, and Adder, your thoughts?
Yeah, I want to be a cowboy, yeah. Isn't that the first dream, the little boy? back in the day, anyway, because I guess they don't give you cap guns anymore.
God, no.
Yeah, we had holsters and hats, and I remember when I was very little, we'd go up to my aunt and uncle's. We would immediately run into the tack room, and these oversized boots that none of them was wearing. They were completely too big for us. Man, we put them on and head to the barn. It's a lot of fun being cowboys.
And back to her.
Yeah, I got to teach you, Frank, and say you don't know beans about cowboys, because they don't play 21 and play poker. But other than that, I loved it. You know, you got the whole scenario down. I thought it was really cool. Roping and riding and everything. You want to get yourself a saloon girl. I mean, you know, it was really a great story. Like I said, the only thing I had a problem with was 21, but, you know, I'll even write that off as poetic license. I enjoyed it, Frank, really.
And then how do you put one up there?
Okay.
So he's going to read his second one.
Yeah, I went to my vault, typed cowboy, and this came up. So this must have been a year ago, huh? American cowboy, forever in my dreams. Is the story so bold when it is told, a man who made of stone? He prays to his creator, and his dreams are his alone. No farmer nor miller, nobody more coy, but a butt-blistering, broke-throwing western cowboy. His name so defined by herding bovine spurs jingled when he walked. He used the words like a slight Dallas curve that made you smile when he talked. No ponies, no burros, no donkeys, please. A man versus beast, he'd ride to his knees. Western boys with dragons to slay, a Brit child I wished cowboy to play. The West was a direction, a time, and a place where cowboys lived and cowboys died. Cowboys lived with us on his horse at a million miles of fence he would ride. The American cowboy forever in my dreams. It was a man cave.
Wow.
Somehow I see you spitting in a spittoon after you finish reading that. Ding.
Ding. Yeah.
I like that. I like how it talks about his creator. I think it's
cowboy religion.
I think it's almost reverent. Yeah, it's almost reverent. I mean, it's very well done, Patter. And Pretty Bird, what did you think?
I am loving no farmer nor miller, nobody more coy, but a butt-blistered, rope-throwing western cowboy. You got to love that. I absolutely love that. I do. And I love, my actual favorite part of this is the West was a direction, a time, and a place. And you can't really say that about, you know, a lot of singular words, but it really is. It's an entire era. It is a direction, and it's very much, you know, a place and a place in time. It's fabulous, and that just kind of pulls it all together and makes it very nostalgic. So I absolutely love that. You gotta love a poem with butt blisters in it. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, riding fence was no fun.
And Rocky Tour, where's your poem?
I have one that mentions country songs, but it kind of only does it in passing. If you want that one, it's the last one that I wrote.
I'll grab it.
Okay. Where's that? And while you're getting that together, I will
answer the door.
Oh, is there somebody at my door? It's Deb. Deb's at my door. Sweet. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good.
I remember some cowboy.
Cowboy
poems from Deb has.
I know. I'm going to put cowboy poems up that Deb has.
Hi, Deb.
Deb's going to read it.
I was just going to say, I went ahead and do that. I just squeeze that in there, my bad.
All right. I'm going to play Racky Tour's poem.
You're going to read
studio?
It. No,
I'm
going to
read Racky Tour's poem.
I just wrote it yesterday.
I'm going to read Racky Tour's poem. Good night, Frank, by the way. Thank you for showing up and wearing your sombrero. Okay. Putting the Tune in Misfortune by Rackendorf. My life has gone so long, it could be a bad country song, baying at the moon under delusion that I could croon. As the sands of time run through my fingers, I'm left to drown in the brine of heartbreak that lingers, wandering through the debris of that which has yet to erode. I try to disarm camouflage landmines before they explode. In the darkest recesses of my mind, spectators are the only thing you will find. Speaking in hushed tones of the way things used to be, in a time before the world wanted nothing to do with me. Tragically, the sun brings on another day, and my solitude continues, much to my dismay. So I try to convince myself that there's a purpose hidden in my dream, and the cacophony that haunts me is something other than my own screams and hope. Oh, yes, we just pulled out another one from the Hurt Locker. So as I take the stabbing pain from my own heart and say, damn you, Rackendorf! Another beautiful country song. Oh, yeah, that should be just sent off to someone who can sing it. Because, yeah, you just break the heart in the darkest recesses of my mind. In a time before the world wanted nothing to do with me. The cacophony that haunts me is something other than my own screams. Oh, thank you. Thank you for bringing up the cowboy show. Uh-huh. We just slaughtered the cow in a beautifully wonderful way. Ah, your words. Stunning, my love, stunning. And I'll hand it over to Pretty Bird.
Because he's killing you? Is that the slaughtering of the cow?
Yes,
that's awesome.
That's...
I am amused. Yes, I am. I. Okay, so here's the thing, Rat. If I stop to fall into the words, I will be in pain. So I ain't gonna do it. You ain't gonna make me. But, yeah, that line that, you know, speaking in hushed tones is the way things used to be. In a time before the world wanted nothing to do with me. There is such a separation between those two lines in emotion where, you know, whispering of all the good things in life and now there is solitude and shadow. And it's just two innocent lines, but it really packs quite a wallop. And, you know, then you get to, tragically, the sun brings another day. Like, you have to suffer through yet more time in this plane of existence. And it's heartbreaking. It really, really is. And, you know, try to convince myself that there's a purpose hidden in my dreams. I keep on trying to convince myself of the same thing. And so far, I'm losing. It's a losing battle. So I'm right there with you. But it's really quite a powerful piece. So, you know, like a sad country song, so you're good.
Thank you.
And Hatter, Hatter.
You know, I don't. I've had that dream of disarming unexploded
landmines.
Yeah, it's frightening. I don't know what movie or what would bring it on. I've had it maybe a couple of times, but that's one dream that is totally I wake up in a sweat. Well done, man.
Thanks, Hatter.
And Deb.
Well, you know, this Hurt Locker kicks. But I swear, you always manage to pack so much emotion into here, into them. And the my life has gone so wrong. It could be a bad country song. I don't think irony is the right word, but the metaphor of that, grabs you because usually the country songs are sad and my dog died and somebody stole my truck kind of vibe. So you start off right away with the sadness and the ache there and all the way down. So I try to convince myself that there's purpose hidden in my dreams, and the cacophony that haunts me is something other than my own scream. And you're like, I try to convince myself, and then you realize that what you know you're saying is that you just can't hold in the screams, and then that's even more overwhelming. And again, I say, your Hurt Locker kicks, and I put a different word in my comment, but I had to save it. Fabulous piece.
Who's up next? Do you want Angel or one of them?
Yes.
Sweetness, are you muted?
I am muted because the dogs are barking. The one I want of Deb's is the one that says, this will make you laugh. That's the first one I want. And then I'll do Angels, and then I'll end the show with Deb.
Okay. So, you need to get out of that Hurt Locker, I see.
Yeah.
All right, Steph, you are on the board.
Okay. This is actually one of the line collabs from Hatter and AP. But you loved it enough to save it. It was, like you already said, make you laugh. So, it's called Cows Jumped Over the Moon to Conquer the World. Here we go. Heard there was some action in the area. Remember the voices that gave us choices? And moo is how to say hi. Periwinkle shrouds the violet skies, but no purple milk spills from cows with guns. These tanks are creaming the opposition and seeking cover. Sweet pea runs, yelling, Amu Gooden, out of here, fueled by gas that she didn't know she had. And moving down the highway with Hatter, public enemy number one, he's bad. It's utterly remarkable that you can tell that Sweet Pea's shooting at me. She can't hit the side of a red barn, you see. And there must be a heifer star in the distance. Muse is the cow god of war, and the invading cows knew somehow the world was theirs to teach. On the horns of a semi-automatic for now. Space wars in time will be red and bovine. But tell me when it's too soon to moo at the moon. Because some things are just not funny. And that, is that a leather jerkin, you heathen? And boom.
I love that line. Is that a leather jerkin? Is that a leather jerkin? I don't know, is it? I love this. I really love Purple Moon spills cows, but no purple milk spills from cows with guns. Yes, this was one of my favorites that you guys did. It was not too long after my surgery either, so it's definitely on my one of the favorites. God, I don't know how you guys bring these together. But yeah, this is great. Funny, brains on fire, you guys. Space and time, space wars and times will be red and bovine from now on and never ending. She can't hit the side of a red barn, you see, and there must be a heifer star in the distance. These lines are crazy, and the way you guys put them together, you never see each other, you never did, I thought was amazing. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts on the collab that is never seen.
Well, I find that they are cohesive, and I find that to be just brilliant. But this cracked me up, yelling, I'm getting out of here, fueled by gas she didn't know she had. Oh, because, you know, it's cows. You know, so you kind of laugh at that thing. You know, you can't have cows with that little extra gap. And I love that. I love
right.
the picture with all the different cows doing all the different things. And it just captures it really, really well. It's hysterical. I loved it.
Yes. I love this, too. And Hatter, I know you wrote it, but do you have any comments on your beautiful, brilliant piece?
I had forgotten all about that. Was this one of the first ones, very first ones?
Let's see here. Looking at the date. It is a year ago, so, yeah, I would imagine that it is one of the first. If I look at the, let me click on the Hatter and AP. It was a year ago this time, like Sweet said, right after her surgery, and you guys have been doing these for 2 years, so I would venture to say it was somewhere right in the middle.
Mm. Yeah, I remember writing, it's utterly remarkable that you can tell the sweet pea shooting at me. She can't hit the side of a red
right,
line.
Right, yeah. Well, the first one you guys ever wrote was June 10th of 2020. And then this one was written on, I'm pointing at it, tell me. Oh, well, that didn't help. It's not giving me the date. Some reason because I want it to. Let me go back to the first comment on it. The first comment on it. I don't know. It was somewhere in the middle, Hatter. Sorry.
That's okay. I'd say it was the top first three. First three, I guess.
Well, you have 73 of them. And somewhere in the middle would make it in the area of, like, 35, 36, give or take.
Yeah.
Anyhow, my Swedes must be muted.
Nope, I'm not. Racking to your thoughts.
I'm just chewing my cud over here. I like it. I want to say Sweepy hit what she decided that she couldn't bring herself to shoot that. But that was a clever poem, though. I of course hated the puns.
Oh, God.
I never heard better.
Oh, my God. All right, Peabert, are you ready to read Heavenly Angel?
Oh, all right, yeah, I can read Angel. She's up on the board, and this is a collaboration with Heavenly Angel and Easy Rider, and this is called The Last 8 Seconds. And it goes like this. Always putting my career first, doing things my way, never realizing the pain I put you through. 'Twas in the cars that rainy final Sunday, the last day, darling, I'd be seeing you. Too busy to settle down like you always yearned. I was blinded by the limelight and popularity. In those last 8 seconds, I finally learned it was you alone that meant everything to me. Before riding this day, death would be my fate. I could never make it up to you now, babe, I guess. When I realized how much I loved you, it was too late. My life cut short by my nemesis, taking care of business. You were smiling as you boarded the plane, waving goodbye, off to another rodeo. I wish I had taken even 8 seconds longer to hold you, to tell you I love you, just so you'd know. Bull riding and rodeos were your way of life. You usually scored well in every show. And I, ever supportive of my cowboys, would follow along, but this time, I decided not to go. I held the phone to my ear in disbelief as the voice on the other end told me you were gone. I wish I had taken those 8 seconds to tell you, with my breath, my life, and all my trauma.
Wow. That's gorgeous. I mean, nothing, wow.
Those guys are...
Yeah, that's the story of a bull rider that actually died, and that's a beautiful story told very, very well through the eyes of somebody that obviously loved him. I mean, metaphorically, it really tells us to tell whoever we're with at all times that we love them. And, you know, I think that's true. I think it's, you know, you never know when you'll have only 8 seconds to love someone. Angel, I think you did it again. You just tore at the hearts, just tore at everyone's hearts. Pretty bird, your thoughts?
I love how instead of going back and forth, they kind of told each other's story with Easy Rider, basically having his life flash before his eyes, and those final moments of all the I should have let you know, you know, I should have known long ago how much you actually meant to me. And with her saying, you know, ever wondering why this time she chose to stay, you know? And it's heartbreaking and beautiful. And, it's a very emotive piece. And it was an honor to read it.
Absolutely. And Rocky, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love the idea of this, you know, the idea of turning it around and looking at 8 seconds. It kind of underscores the emotion. You know, there's all kinds of things wrapped up in that, you know, the brings in time, it brings in, you know, your actions, the cause and effect and decisions and hope and dreams. It's really beautiful. Very, very layered, and you know, it's got to touch you in one way or another. I think it's relatable because, you know, it's a beautiful piece.
And Deb?
Well, for starters, I want to say that the two of them write together, and they write together really well, and this one's got like 4 medals. That's really awesome. And I've seen the movie, so their words are amazing for the movie, aside from, you know, being excellent on their own. But I was hit with a lot of emotion as soon as I saw the photo, you know, realizing, I mean, look how young he is there and that smile, and he's gone already, you know, he died. And it's like... It added to the sadness I was already feeling as I started listening. And all the way down to, I wish I had taken those 8 seconds to tell you, you're my breath, my life, and I dwell upon. I mean, all the way through, I could probably pull a line out of every single stanza, but it's just an excellent collaboration, an amazing, emotional, heartfelt poem, and again, I say they really write well together.
Absolutely. And Hatter.
Yeah, I love the way they use the 8 seconds to, you know, everybody wishes to have somebody back for a day or night, or but for 8 seconds just to tell them. You know, those guys, they are rock stars. The bull riders of today, they really are. They have their own groupies, lack of a better word. There are millions of dollars at stake, and it's a short career, and it's just sad that kind of thing happens, and I can only guess how. But beautiful piece on the list.
Okay, Deb, you are up last to end my show, but before you do, Pretty Bird, can you tell us about your show?
Yes, my show on Thursdays at 10 o'clock, it is Love Changes Everything. And I'm not looking for anything sensual or passionate or fun. I'm looking for, it drives you nuts. It's the bane of your existence and the best thing all at the same time. It is the best of everything and the worst of everything because it makes crazy. So if you've got, you know, love drives crazy kind of poem, that is exactly what I want because it's such a deep emotion that it swings super high and super low and it makes zero sense whatsoever and it'll pull you outside of who you think you are just to make somebody else happy. So, you know, they call it the worst drug and it kind of is, you know, the best, the worst, whatever. You know, so that is what is going on Thursday.
And
yeah,
Friday
night.
What was that?
I said, do you want to see? No,
you're fine. I didn't hear what you said, though. So you said this.
You're asking about Friday.
No, I heard that. But how
did
no,
you
no, he's.
You want us to make you cry.
No, I don't need pain. I need crazy. Well, I mean, if you want to make me cry. I'm not going to, you know, anything that drives you nuts.
Drives you nuts. Oh, I see. Okay. I got that. Friday. What a good looking young man.
So what's going on Friday, Deb?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were waiting for me. We're off on Friday. The next show.
Okay.
The next show after yours is Saturday night with me and AP and Hatter. And the topic is the word ferns, F-E-R-N-S, ferns, wherever it takes you.
And Sunday night is a sensual special where
pretty sweet teas
where we will be doing a rated R kind of show where everyone is invited. It will be available to Team of Voices, so no X rated stuff.
I thought it was going to be a rated R show. There's no rated R on a Team of Voices, so I put the topic board up with the link.
Well,
to
I know. I said it's open to.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be on the other
okay.
board, is what I was going to say. But
okay.
it's going to be open to Team of Voices writers, but it's going to be on the other board. But we are going to be, make it available to everyone to. Okay, you explain it because I'm obviously not doing it right.
No, you're fine. It's just I put the topic board up already, so it's on there.
Right.
It is open sensual, and for 18 and over. And because it's 18 and over, we have a sister site, which is the Adult Lounge, and so the link is on the topic board for that. So there, it's locked, so you can't drop a poem there. But click the link, go over to the lounge, state your age. And once there, on Sunday, we will drop the link for the show. It will not be open to live listening because we don't want any of the PG-13 people listening because it is rated R. It is a little naughty, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you have some sensual, some romantic, some passionate things you want to get out there on the airwaves, it will be posted a few days later, not the night of. So, that is the way that's going to work. If you have any questions, feel free to message me, Pretty Bird, or Sweet Pea, and we're happy to answer them for you.
We don't open our show often, but we are doing a summer seat, and we know a lot of people want to kind of let off some of that steam, so we're going to do a special show Sunday night. So bring on the sensible.
Special. Bring it on.
Bring it on.
I'm looking at this picture, Deb. This is hilarious. The brown
on my palm and it's cute.
Yeah. Carrying the six-shooter.
All right. Anything else? Any other announcements we have for Team of Voices that we need to run them up with?
Don't think so.
No running them. All right, because we are in part of the most fabulous team in the whole world, and that's Team of Voices. All right, illustrious leader, lead us out for the night on My Fabulous You Want to Be a Cowboy. By the way, next week it is going to be songs and movie quotes about cows. So everybody be aware.
Cow jumped over the moon.
All cows, Alma. No. The milking blues with Elvis Presley covered by Aerosmith. Look for good songs.
I'll tell you what.
All right.
I'll tell you what. The milk cows are ninjas with their tails.
Good.
You have to strap them.
We'll talk about it next week, Heather. We're going to
Okay.
Right now. Deb's going to lead us out. All right. Here we go, Deb. Go.
Okay. I brought this because the picture's so damn cute, period. And
oh,
it's
my
called
God.
The Cowboy Out Shopping Naked. Here we go. A baby boy dressed in a white hat and black boots strutted outside to the corral in his birthday suit. He faced the brown bull and green grass-filled fields without the clothes that he'd swiftly peeled. As the bull snarled and flicked his hairy tail, the little naked cowboy giggles wailed, four eyeballs locked in stares with no blink, till the little stud flashes the critter a wink. I can't read. Dad's chest puffed up and mom's eyes just hid. Then to the rodeo auction, they mailed their bid. And pull.
Oh, my God, this is adorable. Oh, this is just so cute. Oh, this is great. I love this, and I love the bid. I really do. I love the bid. Oh, God. Oh, good Lord. And poor...
It's a cute little hiney.
Yeah, it is a cute little hiney, but that bull's out of here. Bye. That was really good, too. This is cute. It's adorable. I love it. I love the picture. I love the poem. It's funny. It's cute. And I just don't think you could do any more with that picture than you just did. Thank you for writing for me tonight. It's just amazing.
That's awesome to hear you kick.
Pretty Bird, your thoughts on this?
There's something just so fabulous about baby butts, isn't there? They're just the sweetest little things. You just want to, like,
right?
Slap it or bite it or pinch it or something. They're just so stinking cute. I tend to go all over all baby parts. They're just, I can't help it. And
raspberry is butt.
Yeah, I can't help it. It's just so cute. And you got to love that big old hat, you know. It's like the most innocent fabulousness before, you know, they're taught to be scared. He's just up close, 6 feet away from that bull. You know, or cow. No, that's a bull. And, it's just like, ooh, hi, how you doing? You know, what you got there? And, not me. Not with no offense. That ain't gonna happen. There's a bold little child to see, and he's already a cowboy with all his braveness and fabulousness. I love this. I absolutely love this. You did a wonderful job with that picture, with the story. I loved it. Put a huge smile on my face.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate
and
that.
And Mr. Hatter.
What's he shopping for? I'll tell you what. The Brahma bulls, that's what they first rode in the rodeos, were the Brahmas. And they can be as mean as they can be, but they can be as docile as a kitty cat. And you can tell that one is just a huge beast. This is great. I love the picture. Tells it all, Deb.
Thank you, Hatter.
I don't know what it is about little
and
boys. I just want to strip them off. We want to do it now.
And
let it all hang out.
I was going to say little boys, yeah. And Raconteur, your thoughts?
Where'd you get my baby picture? Oh, man.
Cute butt rack.
That's cool. You know, it's the fearlessness sometimes of children is kind of awesome, but, you know, the fierceness of nature kind of eclipses that. You've got, you know, that combination of tenderness and humor and reality all wrapped up in this. This is fantastic, you know, and perfect. Well, I can't really see the picture, but, you know, from the description, it sounds like, you know, you wound it up perfectly.
Thank you so much. I see a picture. I'm flashing a little wink at this bull that's like 500 times his size.
Yeah.
Imagine that he's a 2-year-old in boots and a cowboy hat, naked as a jaybird.
Yeah. Challenging a bull.
He's got his arms.
Clothes only slow you down.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, guys. First off, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to everybody that was here tonight. Preeper, thank you very much for all you do. Deb, thank you for making sure my show is successful, but you're making sure my studio is all set up and ready to go. I could not do it without you guys. AP, Hatter, Raconteur, thank you guys for coming in, talking to me. I couldn't do it at all. Thank you for everybody that listens to Sweet Discussions out there in Blog Talk Land and across the world. I really appreciate all of you. For everybody that wrote for me, Heavenly Angel, Pretty Bird, Mr. Gerald Green, Stephen, Kay, Frank, you, Deb, and Hatter. AP, your stuff was amazing. Kay, your stuff was extremely amazing, too. And, of course, myself. I actually threw some stuff up there. Gosh, I'm brilliant, but we all know that. I'm just kidding. You guys rock tonight.
Miss Scarlett.
Miss Scarlett. I really, really appreciate it, taking time out of your day, out of your evening, just to come and hang out with little old me. It means a lot. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Love and respect.
Yes. Love and respect, you guys. So we're going to bounce on out of here. So, listen to a little where you're
hanging out.
Yeah, we're gone. It's all done.
All
it's all gone. It's all night. Night I'm going to
be
know,
baby.
We're going to say goodnight with a little Paula Cole. You guys have a good night.
Good night.